Hi, and welcome to Detox, Talks the Detox, a podcast where we talk to some of the world's finest leaders about their detox rituals and how they maintain continuity in a world of noise and chaos. How they make sure that the criticism that the world puts on them doesn't affect their insight and they still continue to perform as well as they do. Thanks for tuning in. This is Kunal Sundaramani, and you are listening to Detox, Talks the Detox.
We have David Meltzer on the podcast. David is the co-founder and CEO of Sports One Marketing, an incredible person. He's had a journey through so many different phases, so many different sides from becoming an entrepreneur. He served as the former CEO of Lay Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. He's done a ton of incredible things. It's a privilege to host you on.
Well, thank you for having me, and anyone that provides me a platform on my mission to empower over a billion people to be happy, to teach people how to make a lot of money, to live in abundance by helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here.
Dude, I love like how much you talk about happiness, because I think like that's something I always notice. Like,
well, I love the best option approach to life, and people ask me about certain philosophies or theories or practices that I have. And it's always based off of the best options according to my values. And so one of those options are we have a choice to be happy about the activities of the day or unhappy about them. And the best choice is to be happy. Or, you know, I talk about, you know, future and past lives. Is you have an option to believe you get one life, or you have an option to believe you have hundreds of millions of lifetimes. I'll take the 100 million over one. So for me, I've always tried to adhere to the best option approach, and happiness is the best option I can think of.
It's funny how so many things such as happiness, when you try to talk about them, they're simple, but they're not easy.
That's because the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do. And so people tend not to do the simple things. And although ironically, a lot of the simple things to do have the most impact, like just saying thank you.
That is beautiful. I honestly love your philosophy. Make a lot of money, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun. What was the process? Like, I think right now, the philosophy, you have it crystal clear, but the process, what was the rearview mirror like for you? What life moments added up to get you to your current state when you're looking at the philosophy a lot more crystal than when you were developing it? What provoked you to get to that point? Yeah.
what a perfect question. And a lot, I'm amazed more people, you know, don't understand or even ask the question. And I always say, you know, when you're consistent and persistent in the pursuit of your potential, when you love what you do, it will tell you all its secrets. And when we learn those secrets, we start getting the clarity that you suggest, the balance and the focus that's necessary to figure out simply, you know, what is it that I want in a trajectory of what I think I want? And in that auspice of trying to figure out what is it I want today in the trajectory of what I think I want in the future, as I looked at all the different values and non-negotiables in my life, from my health to my family to the activity I got paid for, that as I reconciled the prioritized values, the importance of my journey, of the lessons I learned in order to do my best and to have fun, I tried to, about 14, 15 years ago, incorporated into a mission, because Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon and I, we spun off a global sports marketing company from a famous sports agency named Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. They made the movie Jerry Maguire about our firm. We had represented not only Warren Moon, but all the greats in the world, Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Lennox Lewis, it didn't matter. And so as we created this new company, I had a mission statement, as you suggest, that wasn't simple. I talked about, you know, understanding and leveraging relationship capital in order to do this and that. And it was like a whole page of, you know, mumbo jumbo without the clarity, balance, and focus that the simplicity of making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having a lot of fun. And it was my business partner who, you know, forced me to really clarify the mission, to clarify the movement and the trajectory in which I wanted to be. And so he took the first paragraph of the mission statement, and, you know, I talked about, you know, generating revenue and, you know, EBITDA and all types of fancy terms that we thought, you know, our community would align with and resonate with. And he said, Dave, what does this really mean to you? And that's when I said, you know what? The mission of our company is to live in abundance. And in order to do that in the pragmatic world as a business, that means that we need to make a lot of money so that we can shop for the right things. And he said, oh, okay, so let's write that down, make a lot of money. Then he read the next paragraph and it talked about, you know, the idea of philanthropy and sustainable practices, equity, inclusion, blah, 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 blah. And he said, Dave, what does all this mean to you? And I said, I want to help a lot of people. I want to create a collective consciousness. You know, he said, all right, helping people sounds good to me. And then finally, you know, I came up with, you know, this coalescing of the vapors of human existence, sort of create a viable and logical, you know, existence in the world. He's like, what the heck is this? I said, well, you know, basically, I want to love what I do, so it'll tell me all its secrets. I want to have fun. He said, okay, I got it. Now we know what we're doing here. I said, what are we doing? He said, we're making a lot of money, helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. So I think it does take a lot of time. It takes the enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential to learn the secrets of simplicity, but also raising our awareness to simplicity, that the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do.
So, David, you spoke about a couple of different things. Something I really resonate with across almost everyone we've spoken on the podcast, so many experiences, is that when you're in the experience, when you're doing something that ends up becoming to a certain level of core memory, something that really influences your life, in the rearview mirror, it's amazing. But when you're in the moment, when everything's happening, it's not as amazing as it is when you look back at it. Any such stories that really added on and like stay with you today that you'd love to talk about?
Yeah, well, you know, let me talk about one of the more difficult things that is more meaningful in the rearview mirror, as you suggest. So in 2008, I lost everything. I lost over $100 million. All I wanted to do was be rich, to buy my mom a house and a car. And here I was in my 30s, married to my dream girl, with my dream children, in my dream house, with my dream life. And I had lost everything. But beyond losing everything, I had to go tell my mom, who, as you remember, is the reason I wanted to be rich. I wanted to buy her a house and a car. She had worked two jobs, packed my dinner in a paper bag every night just so she could go out and put us in a station wagon and fill up turnstiles with greeting cards at convenience stores just so we could eat. And I used to pray to God that I would figure out how to make so much money I could buy my mom a house and a car. And here I was years later, a multi-millionaire, losing over $100 million. I had 33 homes in San Diego alone. I had a golf course, a ski mountain, every single car, boat, or plane that I needed, all accessible to me at any time. And I was about to move into a rented house with rented furniture and one car. And on top of it, my wife was pregnant with my first fourth child. And, you know, at that time, I remember walking over to my mom's house, which I bought for her, to tell her that I had lost everything. But worse than that, I had to tell her that I had lost her house because I forgot to take my name off of her title. And I forgot that, which now I had to tell her she had to move. And, you know, as I look upon that moment when I knocked on the door and the minute she answered, I started to cry. And my mom was completely concerned. What's the matter? Oh, my God, is something the matter with my kids? What happened? I said, Mom, I lost everything. In fact, I also lost your house. You're going to have to move. And she looked at me and she said, well, are you okay? I said, Mom, I don't think you heard me. You must be in shock. I lost your house. You have to move. Oh, I heard you, son. Mom, can you believe this has happened to me? She said, this happened to you. I said, can you believe this, Mom? I did everything I could, everything right. And this is what happens. I can't believe it. You told me that if I lived my life and did this stuff and believed in God that everything would end up okay. And she said, oh, son, you believe in God. I said, I don't think I do, Mom. This would not have happened to me. She said, you just believe in the wrong God. And as I give meaning to the basement of my basement, to have to live in blame, shame, and justification, and then realize that I was lost, and that in order to have acknowledgement in my life, to acquire the knowledge of what purpose, passion, and profitability meant in my life, it all had to be taken away. And giving the meaning to the defining moments, the inflection points, the void shortages, obstacles, and pain of our past, giving a meaning that's aligned with the trajectory of where we want to be in the future is a lesson that I've carried with me since 2008, 15 years ago, where now not only was I able to make everything back, but make it back with a paradigm shift that no longer will I search for more, no longer would I search for why. I will instead apply my why, knowing that I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. Now I just figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. And that is one of the poignant moments of my past that I've given meaning of saving my life and propelling, protecting, and promoting me to a future I couldn't even imagine.
That is so beautifully phrased. I love that. So talking a little bit more about 2008, the time when all of that was happening, what was your self-talk when all of that was happening around you?
You know, it's so interesting you talk about self-talk, because I had learned through this experience that stop listening to yourself, start talking to yourself. And my self-talk incorporated five different levels of intention. The first was, what was I going to do in the trajectory of what I think I wanted? The second was, what was I going to say in that trajectory of what I think I wanted? The third was, what would I think in the trajectory of what I think I wanted? The fourth was, what am I going to believe in the trajectory of what I think I wanted? And finally, what would I feel in the trajectory of what I think I wanted? When I realized that there was a mathematical equation of luck, of karma, of coincidence, of consequence, where what I paid attention to, not what I didn't want, what's missing, what other people wanted for me, but paying attention to what I wanted today in a trajectory of what I thought I wanted in the future by doing, saying, thinking, believing, and feeling, that's what I started to do. Knowing three characteristics of behavior, three characteristics of energy, knowing that money was energy. And those three characteristics were aligned with those intentions of what I did say, thought, believe, and felt. And when alignment occurred, I would receive the first characteristic of energy, which is the aggregation. I would attract more like energy. And then the second characteristic of compounding effect, I would receive an exponential result in the trajectory. And then finally, the third characteristic of acceleration, that it would come even faster. And as I honed into what I wanted and who I could help and who could help me and how best to get it done, I started prioritizing the productivity, accessibility, and gratitude of my life. I started knowing my now and knowing my next and applying my why, and all of these different constructs fit together in the right behaviors to progress me in a trajectory of what I think I wanted, maximizing my understanding of the characteristics of behavior, money, energy, of aggregation, compounding, and acceleration. And it was no accident, yet a coincidence, a consequence, and a karma in my life I was creating by enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential with that behavior progressing towards what I thought I wanted.
But when you're in a rough moment, not just 2008, but even after that, when you were rebuilding yourself with a lot more purpose than earlier, and through all of that, when you're in a rough moment, when there's so much build up around you from everything that's happening, there's so much noise. And like the noise to a certain level is very deafening and blinding from doing what you need to do to get out of that noise, from doing what you need to do to get out of that rough patch. So what have been a couple of things you've used to, say, detox out of that noise so you can actually do what needs to be done?
That's so important to understand. I believe that it is the identification and utilization of fear. And at its core, what I started to do was practice identifying the fear of the past or fear of the future. Created two categories of fear. One, fear of the past, which usually materialized itself as regret or guilt. And then the second fear of the future, which usually manifested itself or materialized itself as anxiety and worry. And then when I practiced identifying the two categories of fear, I then supported them with the ego-based consciousness that was contributing to that fear. And so once I understood the identification of fear and the utilization of ego in the context of mobilizing that fear, I could then understand and facilitate stopping the fear. And that required me to understand that fear itself cannot be outlogicked or reasoned. It cannot be resisted. The best course of action in this philosophy of identifying and utilizing is to stop when I identify fear and its ego-based consciousness, breathe through my nose and out through my mouth, remind, remember, and recollect to that great omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source that loves me more than my mom, that infinite, abundant, unified system of thought that I was part and parcel of. And when I identified the fear and supported with the ego-based consciousness, and instead of trying to fight it, resist it, go over it, under it, through it, around it, deny it, lie to it, cheat it, supply it, instead, when I stopped and breathed and reminded and remembered and recollected to source at ease to roll in the right trajectory of what I wanted, who I could help, who could help me, how to get it done, reprioritized by what's important to me, not what was important to others or what I didn't have or didn't wanted. I now could apply my why more often and only spend minutes and moments interfering with my best self. And this practice of ending fear, of acknowledging the fact that my mind, my body, and soul are on fire when I'm living in fear, accelerating in the wrong trajectory. And everybody knows when you're on fire, you got to stop, drop, and roll.
Overall, today, if a rough moment comes up, like anything, like you get a call that there's some new fire, what's the first thing you do? I don't want to say self-talk. What would you tell yourself to do?
For me, I stop, right? And I identify the fear or the fire. And then I try to see what ego-based consciousness that I'm giving it. As Einstein says, you can't solve a problem in the same consciousness in which created. So if I can understand what consciousness it was created in, meaning a need to be right, a need to be offended, a need to be separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful. If I could find the consciousness in which it was created by a need of that ego-based consciousness, I then could stop and then remind, remember, and recollect what consciousness I want to be in, that different consciousness of what I want, who I can help, who could help me, how to get it done, reprioritize via consciousness to a higher self. And then once again, that would clear the interference between me and my higher self and allow me to live at ease or in the flow, not as an influencer spreading dis-ease in the flu, but an influencer living in abundance. And I do want to, you know, bless your audience, if you don't mind. I would love to offer my book to everyone in your community. I will sign my book, send it to you, pay for shipping and the book. I don't mind. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. I'd be blessed to share the lessons I've learned, the dummy tax I've paid in order to effectuate more people, to empower others, to be happy, to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun.
So moving to rapid fire round, a couple of quick questions, answer them in the least possible time. Apples or oranges?
Apples.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Mac or Windows?
Mac.
One piece of advice that is thrown around very often but isn't true?
Oh my God. Oh, parents give good advice.
One piece of advice that isn't given very often.
Ask for help.
The first person you should reach out to when something goes wrong.
My mom.
One device you depend on that is not your phone or your car.
My laptop.
And not your laptop.
Meditation.
Your favorite movie?
Shawshank Redemption.
Your favorite web series?
Ted Lasso.
Your favorite music?
Reggae.
One thing that you depend on more than anything else?
My wife.
Your favorite place in the world?
Bora Bora.
Your second favorite place in the world?
Israel.
Your favorite book?
Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Your favorite person?
Myself.
Thank you so much. This was a privilege to host you on.
You just heard an episode on the Detox Podcast. Do not forget to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, whether it is Spotify or iTunes. We are there.